Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Some TV shows capture New York life at a particular time. There was All in the Family, Seinfeld, Broad City, 30 Rock, and of course Sex and the City, created by Darren Star. Star is also the man behind a fairly recent NYC Zeitgeist Fuse series. It's called Younger, a crackling dramedy that's a send-up of New York City publishing, where characters name-check Joan Didion and Naomi Wolf, while tackling the issue of age discrimination in the workplace. The series was based on a book of the same name by Pamela Redman Satran. Here's the book description. Alice is trying to return to her career in publishing after raising her only child, but the workplace is less than welcoming to a 40-something mom whose resume is covered with 15 years of dust. If Alice were younger, she knows she'd get hired in a New York minute. So if age is just a number, why not become younger? Or at least fake it. In the TV version of Younger, Alice is now called Liza and is played by Tony winner Sutton Foster. Liza is a 40-something Dartmouth alum who is newly divorced. Her husband cheated on her and gambled away all their money, so now she needs to work. And here's what happens in the first few minutes of the very first episode of Younger. Liza speaks first.
I worked at Random House for 3 years. I started as an assistant to a marketing VP, and then I worked my way up to junior editor.
Wow, impressive.
At the time, I was one of the youngest people ever to make editor. I was 25.
I'm 25.
Don't worry, you don't look a day over 7.
And then for the past, what, 15 years, nothing?
I quit to raise my child, Caitlin, who's now spending her senior year in an exchange program in India. Look, I know I've been out of play for a while, but I am a much smarter, more capable person today than I was 15 years ago.
I'm sure.
I'm ready to throw myself back into work 24/7. I'm ready to pick up where I left off.
Well. It has been quite a long hiatus, Liza. Things have changed.
Facebook, Twitter, iPhones.
iPads, ebooks, YouTube.
Instagram, Snapchat, Skype.
Pinterest.
Bang with friends.
Seriously? You bang with friends?
It's way better than Tinder.
Shortly after, Liza begins the big con. And for 6 seasons, the show has played on the tension of Liza being found out. It's also been a big heart emoji to New York City, and a place where some of New York's finest working actors have flexed their muscles. Debbie Mazar plays Liza's best friend, Maggie. Stage actor Miriam Shore played her demanding lady boss of a certain age. Musical theater star Laura Benanti, her romantic rival this season. For the publisher Charles, played by Peter Herman. Martha Plimpton has shown up. Michael Urie, Kristen Chenoweth. You get the idea, along with many others. And now season 7 will be the last, and there are storylines that need to be resolved. Can Liza have the career of her dreams in publishing and start her own imprint? Will she find love with a 20-something Williamsburg tattoo artist or get together with an Upper East Side debonair age-equivalent publisher? Those questions may be answered on the first 4 episodes of Younger, which drop today on Paramount Plus and Hulu streaming services. They'll air on TV Land later. And Darren Star joins us now. Darren, I'm so happy to have you on the show. I'm a big fan of the series.
Oh, thank you. Great to speak to you.
Now, when you first read the book, what was interesting to you about the story? A woman having to lie about her age to land a job.
I mean, I just heard the log. I mean, the recap for the premise of the book, which I think is just the perfect log line for the series. And I didn't need to see anything more than that. I had a lot of friends who had, you know, smart women who had dropped out of the workforce to raise kids, and I knew they were trying to get back into work, and I sort of, like, you know, I saw the issues they had. I could certainly sympathize with their situations because I knew they were talented women. But, you know, when you step out of that world for a number of years, it's sort of hard to get back in, and the world has certainly changed. And I think the one difference between the book that made it even more sort of delicious to update for me was the idea that we were just living in this this world where 20-somethings had so much more just primacy because just of their fluency on social media, and it was something that I felt like the generation behind them just was really playing catch up, and as was I, by the way. So I kind of learned a lot working on this show.
Yeah, Liza has to learn pretty quickly of how to be a faux millennial. And that's also part of the process where she becomes her new self. I'm wondering how that was for you writing for this show and show running the show, which really revolves around the lives of millennials as well.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it was sort of like I was, in a sense, I was living the show also, as were a number of other writers in the room of a certain age who aren't millennials, you know, more Gen Xers, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we also had we had younger writers in the room, and we really kind of learned from each other, I think, just as Liza and Kelsey learned from each other. So we were kind of, in a way, experiencing their issues in real time.
Yeah, I have to tell you, that first scene really rang true. I had stepped out to have a child and to help my ailing parents, and I remember going to a job interview and facing young women who were 15. I'm Gen Xer, too. So we're about the same vintage. And she was obsessed with that I didn't have enough Twitter followers.
Right.
She could not get off it. I was like, but I've written two books, but I have been on network news. Yeah, but you don't have enough Twitter followers. I remember seeing that, and that first scene, I was like, this... Yeah, it's actually happening to people, you know?
And I think that the generation gap has become so much more pronounced between millennials and, you know, older generations than it was between, let's say, Gen X, baby boomers, and the generation before, because the way that business is conducted really did change. I mean, there was just an absolute, like, revolution, and if you weren't attuned to it and living it, you were behind. And I think the idea that, like, the millennials are living it gave them instantly just so much more importance in terms of how they were perceived. And whereas someone in their 20s would generally be thought of, you know, in the past as someone who's going to basically pay their dues and learn, now is basically was being looked at as senior.
My guest is Darren Star. We're talking about Younger in its series finale, final season of the show. So, you know, the idea on the page is one thing. We can imagine our heroine, a 40-year-old woman pretending to be 25, but you have to pull that off in real life, and people have eyes and they can see. So I'm curious what the casting process was like, and what was it about Sutton Foster that made you all believe that she could do this?
Well, I've been a huge fan of Sutton Foster from way back. I saw her in Thoroughly Modern Millie, I saw her in Anything Goes, I've seen her in The Drowsy Chaperone, Young Frankenstein, so I was a huge Sutton Foster fan. When I found out that she was actually turning 40 the year we did the show, I was stunned, because I assumed she was at least 10 years younger than that. I mean, she just has this incredible vitality and exuberance, and for me, it was really about, I believe she could pull it off, and it really is about an attitude and how she moves and how she behaves. I thought that she could do it, and she felt she could do it. And I think that one thing about a lie is that it's really about, once a few people start believing it, everybody just gets invested in it, and they're people are thinking much more about themselves and their own lives than they are about anybody else's. So I think that, in a way, once you sort of got to the door with it, it was, you know, it was like game on.
And there's a sort of interesting subtext over the course of the series about how we limit ourselves by what we think about age or what we think about our sex. What did you want to explore about the way we limit ourselves?
I definitely wanted to explore the idea of ageism and how age is perceived negatively in our society rather than positively, and that, in fact, her experience was really, was so helpful to her at work and in the show, but it was perceived as a handicap, and it just wasn't fair. And I think people really root for her, even though she's lying, because they feel that she's lying in service of something that's just not fair. That she's not allowed back into work because she is perceived as being, you know, too old. And so I think the lie is in the service of something that is an injustice.
Yeah, I actually want to play a clip that speaks to that point. And this isn't a spoiler for anybody who's watched. In the last season, Liza's secret was revealed. And there's an emotional moment when Liza's found out and she's confronted by her boss, Miriam Shore, who is sort of a Miranda Priestley-esque C-suite executive who hired Liza when she thought she was a 20-something assistant, but has discovered she's actually her peer. Let's listen.
Hello, Liza. If that's even your real name.
Lauren said you came in early?
Yes. I've been drafting your termination letter.
Of course. Diana, if you'll just let me explain.
What a charade this has been. First Charles, now this. I can't seem to keep up with all the lies that you've told. You must have had a good time at my expense.
No, it wasn't like that at all.
What was it like, Liza?
It was really hard lying to someone I care about so much. Diana, I owe so much to you. You were the only person who wanted to hire me.
Well, I wouldn't have if I'd known.
Exactly. That's why I had to lie. I saw this opportunity to work for you, the biggest opportunity that I have ever had, and I had to take my shot. And my life opened up when I did. You can't win the game without playing the game. You taught me that.
But for what, Liza? I mean, I have been searching my mind for hours. And for the life of me, I cannot come up with one good answer to the question, what self-respecting adult would go to those lengths for this job? To get me coffee and chopped salad? To hand-stitch my pants, to clean out my birdcage? To bring my urine sample to the doctor? To hold my hand when I was alone on the red carpet? To convince me to fight for Enzo when I chased him away? Who would do that? I mean, it couldn't have been just for the money.
Of course not. I did all those things for you.
Maybe you did what you had to do. And I can respect that.
That's Miriam Shore and Sutton Foster from Younger. I'm speaking with its creator, Darren Starr. Incidentally, I think Miriam was our last in-studio guest before the pandemic. I think she's the last human being.
Oh, really? Wow. She's, oh, my God. Just listen during that scene. She's so wonderful.
She's such a great actress. And, you know, the scene really gets to something else, that the show really examines friendship.
Yes, definitely.
And all kinds of friendship. And obviously, Sex and the City was about friendship as well. What did you, and all your, a lot of your other shows, of course, Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place. What was, did you learn from your other shows that you were able to do in the show? Or maybe there was something that you wanted to do in the show that you hadn't, when you're talking about friendship and examining friendship, that you hadn't done in the past?
Yeah, I mean, for this show, for me, it was about intergenerational friendship and how age shouldn't be a barrier to friendship and how it's important to have friends of different ages. And I think we're so accustomed to sort of like having a friend group of that's just our peers being people of our own age. And I think in this case, it emphasizes the importance of how people from different generations can create really close friendships, and that age just shouldn't be a deterrence to that.
All right, let's talk about some of the fun aspects of this show. It is a very cheeky send-up of publishing.
Right.
How did you learn the ins and outs of publishing? And also, how did you make it sexy?
I'm a big reader. I'm a voracious reader. I love books. And it really was, there was no research, quite honestly. It was a lot of lucky, you know, it was a lot of guessing, sort of imagining what it might be like to work in that field, and for someone who's a book lover, you know, and I think that's, I would say one thing I know from friends of mine in publishing in New York is people do it for the love. It's not a business where you're going in to make a great fortune. People really go in because they love and they're passionate about books. And, and it's a business that's in trouble in many ways. And I kind of like the fact that it's an underdog business where everyone that's working in that business is really working in it out of a sense of love. And I thought that was really important for, especially for this character who's doing something, not so much for the money, but for a sense of identity. And I think that's why publishing is such a great world for these characters, because they care so much about what they do.
And you create worlds in your series, Beverly Hills, 90210, Privileged High School Kids on the West Coast, Melrose Place, Post-College 20-somethings, Emily in Paris, a Gen Y or Z woman who lives abroad. So this is very much a love letter to New York, but it's very stylized. What was the aesthetic, and
the publishing business? I think, you know, for me, it's a love letter to Brooklyn, and you know, that's Brooklyn is a place where I haven't really spent a lot of time in Brooklyn before I did this show, and I really got to discover Brooklyn and sort of just you know, a whole other world, just you know, over you know, across the bridge, and I feel like that was for me a real discovery, and I love to sort of discover things for myself as I'm doing a show.
My guest is Darren Star, creator of Younger. It is the last season of Younger. It's interesting. It is COVID-free. COVID is not mentioned. It's very much the before times. What went into that decision?
Well, really the action of the show, where it picks up from last season, it takes place pre-COVID, and we really would have had to do a lot of gyrations to include COVID in our timeline because we would have had to jump ahead so many months to make that happen. And had we done that, we would still be guessing how things played out at the time we were writing these scripts, and it just felt like it wasn't a risk worth taking. And I also feel like watching this series, it's timeless now. There's no sense of, you know, you can watch it anytime, and it's always going to have this sort of beautiful vision of New York that's sort of unbroken, and hopefully a New York that we're all going to be seeing again soon.
So, but the filming of the series was affected by the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, we, you know, filmed the series under very arduous circumstances. I mean, we were filming during COVID from October to February. It was a big risk to take. The actors were very game. The crew was really game, but it was, you know, safety first, and it took a lot more time. It wasn't necessarily fun. Everybody was wearing masks and a lot of, you know, PPE and getting tested 3 times a week. And you know, there were scares here and there, but we really made it. We made it through safely. And really nobody saw each other's faces for the entire season we were filming, except for the moments that the actors took their masks off to perform their scenes.
Oh, that's kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and so really it's kind of movie magic that we kind of created this vision of New York that is COVID-free.
All right, so, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker could be listening right now because she's a generous supporter of WNYC.
I hope so.
Always helping us out.
So.
And Cynthia Nixon has been on this show. So I'm going to ask you, what can you tell me about the Sex and the City reboot?
Nothing, only that it's, you know, a wonderful gift to look forward to.
Nothing? Tell me.
Nothing. No, nothing. That, you're going to have to talk to Sarah about that. She can give you all the spoilers on that one, not me.
Oh, I wish you were in the studio. I'd give you such the stare down right now. My guest has been Darren Star, creator of Younger. I think it's the first 4 episodes dropped today on Paramount Plus and Hulu, and then you can watch it on TV later. Darren, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Great to speak to you.